much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. This is a really great idea. I'm glad we did this, man. You guys are the best. Because I feel better. And it's because of this. This is making me feel really good. Because I can feel the love from you guys. It's great what you're doing. This whole thing is cool. And I don't know whose turn it is, who's supposed to talk next. But if you want to talk, talk.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Kevin and Bean were almost not going to send me, but I had to, you know, go under the table and do something that I'm not quite proud of.
What? Let's go to rap song for 400.
And the lights are blinking, I'm thinking it's all over when I go out drinking, insane in this. Tom.
What is the membrane?
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why the girl had me say those things.
And now.
They're not that bad, are they?
If by not that bad you mean embarrassing, ridiculous, humiliating, and like a little... Then yeah, no, they're definitely not that bad.
Our feature presentation.
Did we ever get an answer why the girl made him say those things?
No.
Okay.
We never did.
Seems like that should be answered, no? If she truly made him say those things.
I'm sure he believes that that he wouldn't have said those things or even thought those things if she hadn't prompted him with her line of questioning, with all that annoying asking, can I get you some juice, baby? That clearly forced him to just spill out how much he hates the Negro.
I heard the story on the way in. The daughter in Sterling tried to get her to admit that she doctored the tape to make it sound like he said that when he really didn't.
She didn't really seem like the type who has a forensic lab to be able to effectively doctor audio.
No, she doesn't.
Didn't seem like that would work. And how well can she hear wearing an astronaut's helmet?
That's true. She does have the astronaut's helmet. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It's Wednesday, the 21st of May.
Remember our old friend Mike Catherwood, who we think fondly on for a lot of reasons. A, he was the pre-beer mug part of our life, so that was great. But yeah. B, he used to have a lot of fascinating stories about all the inanimate objects that he had sex with. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Mike,
crazy days.
Yeah. He never met a couch or a wall or an automobile that he didn't want.
That's true.
Had a pretty high sex drive there as a young man. Well, I thought of Mike when I saw this story out of, unfortunately, not Florida, but Tennessee. This past Friday night, a man walks into a bar, drops his pants, then his underwear, and then attempts to have sex with an ATM.
Oh.
Now, I saw that story, and I really, for a couple of minutes, thought, how do you have sex with an ATM?
Because not to get into too many details, but all it really has is a slot to put your credit card in and a slot to take your money out, and neither of those seem super conducive to what you're looking for.
Right.
I don't know. I can't imagine that that's workable. I'll try. I'm willing to give it a shot.
I love money.
How
can I express my love of money?
Yeah, an ATM doesn't make a lot of sense. Lonnie Hutton is his name. He's 49 years old. He was at the Boro Bar and Grill in Murfreesboro, which is near Nashville, if I recall correctly. And the article, by the way, says that he allegedly sought to make a 9 p.m. deposit.
Hey!
He certainly did. A Murfreesboro Police Department officer was dispatched to the bar where a witness said that Hutton walked to the ATM, pulled down his pants, pulled down his underwear, exposed his genitals, then attempted to have sexual intercourse with the ATM. Now, after the encounter with the ATM, it doesn't sound like he was done. He then began to walk around nude around the bar, thrusting his hips in the air. He was escorted from the bar, told to sit at a wooden picnic table, where he allegedly again exposed himself and then tried to engage in sexual intercourse with the wooden picnic table.
Yay!
Now, again, I'm not positive. If you told me this is your job for the day, I don't know how that would work out.
Right. Like a picnic table, again, seems pretty closed for business.
Right.
Doesn't it? I don't know. But, I mean, he must have been awfully frustrated after that bitch, the ATM, turned him down. So he immediately went out.
I've been turned down by that bitch.
Yeah. The ATM has turned you down many times over the years.
Not fun.
So then he goes outside and tries to do it with the picnic table. He was booked into a county jail on public intoxication charge. Oh, what a surprise. I didn't realize alcohol was involved at all. He remains locked up in lieu of $250 bail. He smelled of booze, had bloodshot eyes, had slurred speech. So he is going to schedule to be in court July 1st. By the way, your life's not going well if you are in jail possibly till July because you can't come up with $250.
Yeah, that's nothing. You're right.
Maybe that's why you need to go to the ATM. But that's tough. So anyway,
plus splinters in his penis, and that's no fun.
That can't be fun at all.
Till July.
And isn't it shocking that this isn't in Florida?
It is, yeah.
This is Florida all over it, but it's Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's trying to step up and battle for the crown. But
that's right. So good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I never dreamt that this could happen. It's a terrible, terrible nightmare.
That could be true. We have a special edition of Lightning Strikes today.
Ooh, we haven't had that in a while.
It's been a while. It is hangover cures.
Okay.
He's asking people for their own personal hangover cures.
Well, I know Ralph swears by that sober up after his movie premiere. He was just talking about how it saved him. But there are a lot of things that people try. I go to 7-Eleven a lot, as you know. I love the 7-Eleven. And it seems like every few weeks there's a new hangover cure pill or bottle or liquid or something on the counter that they've given shelf space to. Because that makes a lot of sense that people would be going in there, you know, late at night and whatnot.
Right, but if they keep changing every 2 weeks, it's never going to...
I don't know.
Clearly,
I
don't work.
Apparently, a lot of people are on the case trying to make a product that does work.
Well, let's get with it, science.
Curious to hear what Lightning comes up with, what people are trying that's effective.
We also have Matthew Hicks in the studio from the TV show I Want to Marry Harry.
Yes, Faker. I have many questions about this.
Faker.
Liar.
Yes.
Fraud. He's both. All three. Yeah. We're going to talk to him about that.
If his name really is Matthew Hicks.
We have I don't think he's trying to hide his real name.
How do we know, man? We can't trust anything out of this goddamn guy's mouth.
plus, world's, worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
It is 5:39.
In a while, but I think we may just have one.
Come on now. Worst first dates we're going to talk about today. We have a
Say it three times fast.
Nope. We have I just said it three times wrong. I'm not going to... We have a new feature called Kevin's Trailer Park. Maybe that's better for today than any other day. We have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast in the third row.
Woo.
And we're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour.
Okay.
For those of you that listen early, so we've got that coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I like it. I like
Shut
it a lot.
Up, Ralph.
I like it so much.
Nobody likes those more than Ralph.
Come on, Ralph. That's how you want to start your day, right? You okay, buddy?
Come on. We're still friends, right?
We're the best of buddies. Now more than ever.
I believe Ralph insists we hear it one more time.
I didn't hear a request from that. I think we'd get ready for the showbiz beat, right?
Oh,
for God's sake.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I screwed up the word plus. I didn't mess up that word.
Ralph is curled up at a little ball on the floor. I don't think he's going to be able to do this report, you guys.
Oh, we're all having some fun now, aren't we?
Oh, my God. Oh, sweet Jesus.
I said plurs. What happened?
I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. Oh, good God. All right, one more time. One more time.
Come on!
One more time and I'll be good. I'll get it out of my system.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right, thank you.
Standing on!
All right.
Good
All right.
God.
Try to recover from that and move on with the showbiz beat.
I may never recover from that. Yesterday we talked about Burger King ditching its 40-year-old slogan.
Have it your way!
Which Kevin, of course, knows is have it your way. Yes, they changed it in favor of be your way. Which rolled out across the U.S. this week. And in weeks ahead, you'll be seeing a lot of commercials. Burger King, be your way.
It's horrible. It's a horrible slogan.
It is.
But they were talking about it this week. People were asking Burger King about the slogan, and they said, the problem is that people don't see themselves as living the Burger King lifestyle. Okay, now I see where the problem is.
Take it easy.
You think there's a Burger King lifestyle. Everyone who works in advertising needs to get their head out of their ass. Nobody's going to Burger King for a lifestyle. We just want to eat something that's tasty and quick. Yeah. That's all. That's all it is. Make us believe that you have something that is tasty and quick. Don't expect us to buy into whatever lifestyle you think Burger King represents.
We're also not getting our self-worth from you, so take it easy.
Slogans that were passed over, apparently, were slightly better than Wendy's, maximum taste, minimum wage, and when your arteries are just too damn clean. But they're going with it. And then on the heels of that, the reason I bring it up is yesterday McDonald's unveiled a new mascot named Happy. Have you seen Happy?
I've not seen Happy.
He's terrifying.
Happy the Happy Meal box.
He's terrifying.
He is. He's got giant teeth growing out of his box, big bulging, terrifying eyes, and he looks like he would murder you in your sleep.
Well, that seems the opposite of what they want.
Sleep well, kiddies. Happy's coming.
That's a terrible idea.
Happy the cannibalistic Happy Meal box.
I would be afraid if I were, you know, 8 or something and went in for a Happy Meal and I had that thing staring back at me.
Yeah, it's positively creepy. One reviewer said, it makes the Hamburglar look like a model citizen. It's a face that could keep a narcoleptic awake. It is it's a terrifying image of a box come to life that's going to just gnaw on your bones. So, well done, fast food business. You're really getting us. You know where we live.
It's a race for the bottom this week with those advertising changes.
Craziness.
But McDonald's is great, though. We love everything
we
do.
Don't get me wrong. Whatever's inside the Happy Meal,
I would never eat anywhere else.
Yum, 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 yum.
It's the only food you ever need.
No.
Sponsor, right?
I guess.
Okay.
Disney, somebody who knows how to do it right.
Everything.
Has announced it's a new Disney on Ice production. They do this every year. They send out a bunch of people on skates, and they have Disney on Ice. What movie do you think it's going to be based on this year? Disney, Ice.
Think of a
Disney,
movie
Ice,
that
Ice,
was popular.
Disney.
Kids.
Planes.
Ice.
What?
Planes.
What?
No, I'm kidding. Oh. It'll be Frozen. Of course. Disney on Ice's theme will be Frozen this year.
Let it go.
Just let it go. Let it go. I guess I'm going to go see that this year.
I guess everyone's going to go see that this year.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it looks like is going to happen to me. Ryan Gosling may want to remain looking good in front of cameras. He just finished directing his first film, a film called Lost River. And it debuted at the auspicious Cannes Film Festival this week, where it was booed by several audiences.
Oh, wow. Really?
Justin Chang, a Variety newspaper, called it altogether inauspicious and lost. The British Telegraph reviewer gave it just 1 out of 5 stars, being roundly attacked at the Cannes Film Festival.
Most of the time,
it's a lackluster production at best.
Most of the time, you see a movie you don't like, you sort of keep it yourself, and you go outside, "Well, didn't that suck?"
Cannes kind of famous for that.
Oh, they are
kind of famous for that. Yeah, they are. They're all in or all out. They seem to love everything, but if they don't like your film, they will let you know in a most vocal way. Because rarely do you get a chance to express your feelings to the filmmakers because they're almost always in the screening.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Ryan's got to have some
that hurts.
Sore humps.
Yeah.
Maybe you can make him feel better, Lisa. Maybe there's something you could do.
Maybe there is. Let me think
about
that.
Take his mind off it.
Distract him for a moment.
It is going to be tough to him if he has to go back to his regular life just being Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm. The drag.
Yeah.
All beat up looking like he is and stuff.
Yeah.
And while we're talking about movies, yet another movie about male strippers in the works. It's a genre now, the male stripper movie.
Sure.
But here's the thing. You can't let Whitey capitalize on all the male stripper movies. What about the underserved African-American audience?
If Kevin Hart's in it, I'm in.
Well, I'm sure he will be. of course, there will be African-American-themed male stripper film about a college student struggling to make ends meet who meets the owner of a male strip club, played by Michael Jai White, who convinces him to try out for amateur night, and the rest is history. Tyson Beckford, model-turned-actor, will also star in the film.
No word. We'll go see that.
No word on who's playing the young up-and-coming stripper. However, we do have a title.
Chocolate City.
Chocolate City.
Chocolate City. Ha! Chocolate City.
Chocolate City.
Yes. So look forward to Chocolate City at a theater near you.
That was Washington, D.C.'s nickname back in the 70s, Chocolate City.
Is that a joke?
Is that a joke? I don't know. Somebody sort of...
No.
Somebody looked
no, that was...
For
no,
real?
For real.
Okay,
for
we
real.
Just didn't know. Just
no,
checking.
And then Parliament
because
came out...
Because it's of its heavy African-American population.
Yeah,
because
it's 90% plus black.
We were all afraid you were joking.
No. I was just wondering if that
being
had
historically
any...
racist.
Mm. Yes. I was wondering if that had anything to do with the title. And then Parliament came out with an album based on that called Chocolate City, and a song and the whole deal. It was kind of popular.
Wow, the history behind Chocolate City.
He's an expert on Chocolate City. Who knew?
Who knew that would happen?
Then there was that song by that guy on the internet. Remember Chocolate City?
It was Chocolate Rain.
Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor, politician Al Franken. What a weird and interesting life this guy's led.
Yeah.
He's still in the Senate, right?
Yeah. From being a writer on SNL, then a performer, and then he was sort of a TV star and movie star for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then he went into politics, and he's still in the Senate for, I think, Minnesota?
Minnesota, I think so, yeah.
63 years old today. Mr. T, I pity the fool. Don't give me a card. Judge Reinhold is 57. Bruce Buffer, UFC ring announcer, is 57 as well. Lisa Edelstein, we loved her on House, 48 years old today. Firuza Balk celebrates her 40th birthday. And singer Gautier is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ralph Garman's got a movie coming out called A Million Ways to Die in the West, which looks hilarious. Give you a chance to win some tickets to that before the thing even opens later on this morning. Also, Tim mentioned tickets on the show today and tickets in the third row for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, which is a week from Saturday. All that coming up this morning here on K-Rock.
Merriam-Webster, as happens about every year, has revealed 150 new words that will be added to its college dictionary.
That's too many.
150 new words.
Well, the language grows all the time, you guys. I mean, you want it to be as accurate and as timely as possible. It won't surprise you guys. I'm always very excited when the new dictionary comes out. Well, I love seeing the stuff that, I mean, it's
I'm
amazing.
I'm curious. I'm not really excited.
But looking at this list,
all right.
For instance, auto-tune. Isn't auto-tune something that you've been hearing, a phrase that you've been hearing for years?
It's part of the language, but how excited can you be to see that in a book?
It's finally in the dictionary.
Right.
Baby bump, finally in the dictionary. All sorts of things having to do with computers are in the dictionary, like hashtag, for instance, is now a word that means something.
Selfie. Stuff that everybody's been using for a long time.
Hotspot. I mean, there's all sorts of exciting new words. And I'm always so surprised to see some of the stuff that makes it. Like spoiler alert is in the dictionary now. I don't know. I just think that's neat. But we wanted to find out more about this because Merriam-Webster, of course, the first name in dictionaries. Everybody knows that.
Sure.
So we asked producer Dave, who can we talk to about the process of getting new words into the language and what's new in 2014? And Ryan McNeil joins us. He is the assistant editor of Merriam-Webster. He's on the Kevin and Bean Show right now on K-Rock. Hello, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Well, Bean, for one, is very excited.
He's right. It's very exciting when new words go into the dictionary, don't you know? In fact, I think he said it best when he said, it's neat.
He did say it's neat. It's neat in the dictionary. I hope so.
Well, no, we took that out in 1957.
Oh, it's too bad.
So no one really uses that anymore, don't you know?
What is the process, Mr. McNeil, in how a word gets selected? Is it a vote? Do you have a bunch of people that sit around a table and just argue and no one leaves until you decide? Or what happens?
There is a group of us here at WM, or MW, I guess I should say.
Sure.
Where we get together and everyone says, well, this word's being used a lot, maybe we should consider this. And we take the common vernacular of the day and we make a long list, and not everything gets in, of course.
Right.
But we do look at words that are being used with frequency in the American language and say, yes, that's going to be around for a while. That deserves to go in.
Guys, turducken is now in the dictionary.
Sure, because that's a thing.
That is a thing.
That's what? That's a turkey that's stuffed inside of a duck that's also then stuffed inside of a chicken?
Actually, it's a chicken that's stuffed into a duck that's stuffed into a turkey.
Okay. See, if I had the dictionary in front of me, I would know. See, this is a perfect example of why words need to be in the dictionary, so you can look them up and know exactly what the hell you're talking about.
And that's been being used since 1982. We tracked it back that far.
Wow, now that's a surprise to me.
It takes a while sometimes for these words to really, make sure that they're going to stick around. We don't want to put just anything in the dictionary.
I see.
What else is new in the 2014 Merriam-Webster Dictionary that our listeners would be interested in, sir?
Catfish, for example.
Sure.
The person who sets up a false personal profile on a social networking site.
Sure.
You've heard that, of course, from the movie and the TV show
That makes sense. Absolutely, yeah.
Baby bump.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
When a woman's showing a pregnancy, baby bump now will be an official term used in the dictionary.
All right. Should be. Good. I like it.
Paywall.
Paywall. Mm-hmm.
All right. That makes sense, yeah.
The system that prevents Internet users from accessing certain web content without paying for it.
Right. Those are called newspapers that no one reads anymore, the ones that charge, right?
Right, of course, yes. Hashtag, as you mentioned, fracking.
Fracking is one of them.
Fracking.
All right.
Injecting fluid into shale beds in order to free up petroleum resources.
All right.
That's been
in the news
since
a lot.
1953, by the way.
Well, why are you guys so slow?
Fangirl.
Fangirl.
A girl, a woman who's extremely or overly enthusiastic.
Right.
First used in 1934.
What? What's your rush?
Well, we weren't sure that was going to stick around.
Okay.
But apparently it has, so it's in.
All right.
But some 150 words, as you mentioned.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Very, very complex process we go through. And some of them, of course, you may have heard. Some of you may not have heard. They're being used, we think, in enough frequency that eventually they will become commonplace. So we're ahead of the curve.
Ahead of the curve.
All right.
Okay. Like what?
For example, Cyrus.
Cyrus.
Cyrus is a sexually transmitted virus that can only be caught from twerking.
Okay, all right.
Like,
I'm not familiar with that.
That's a human papillonocyrus.
Oh, wow.
A frozen.
A frozen.
A frozen.
Afrozen.
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 Okay.
Afrozen.
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 Right.
Stop it.
Afrozen is the temperature where it's so cold that an African American's hair will freeze.
I've never heard that one.
Afrozen.
Afrozen.
Oh,
okay.
My God, it's so cold out. Look at that guy. He's afrozen.
Okay. All right.
A Kardash.
A Kardash.
Kardash.
Yeah.
That's the act of running away from horrible reality TV stars.
Yeah.
I tried to turn on E, but I ended up just Kardashing away.
Right. I like it.
A Bieber.
A Bieber.
Yes. That's when you have to go to the bathroom. You say, I had to take a giant Bieber. Oh, my God. Look at the size of that Bieber. See, feces.
Right. All right. I think we understand.
It's also poo-poo.
Right. Got it. Got it.
Instead of saying poo-poo, you'll say Bieber.
Bieber. Right. No, we understand. Yes.
I'm saying Bieber is equal to poo-poo.
Right. We got you. And we're with you.
And a new word, of course, that combines plus and first, plurse. Plurse is now in the dictionary.
I'm sorry. I don't recognize that word.
Oh, everybody's using it now.
Plurse.
It's a first, but also in addition to, you say plurse.
Now, Kevin started that, right?
Oh, I don't know if he started it, but everyone's using it. I heard it just this morning on the radio.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Plurse, world's worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Ryan, don't you think it might be a little...
Come on.
Don't you think it might be a little too early to add that to the dictionary?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. Good to hear it. Thank you, sir. All right. We'll let Mr. McNeil go.
Thank you.
All right. We have to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. You could be the plurst caller if you want, or you can call right after that. We're looking for contestants. You want to play to win tickets for this year's sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. It's a week from Saturday. Call now. We'll put you on the air next year on K-Rock. Hangover cures in the 7 o'clock hour. Also, Matthew Hicks joins us. He says he is not an actor, by the way. He is a terrible actor. Yet, he's the guy who had to convince 12 American girls that he's Prince Harry on this new Fox reality show. Sounds like a tough job for somebody who's not an actor. Anyway, all that's coming up right now, though. We want to hook you up with tickets for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. It is Saturday, May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Kevin, what's this game called?
This game is called Blue Beck. It's bluegrass music, bluegrass versions of Beck songs.
Oh, no.
Ruh-roh.
It's time for Blue Beck. It's time to play our favorite game.
Yeah.
Yeehaw, indeed. There are lots of great acts on the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 this year, including Fall Out Boy and The Neighborhood and Bastille and Vince and the Tantrums and Avicii and Foster the People. But no one has more hit songs on the bill than our old friend Beck, who we've been playing on K-Rock for 20 years now. So we're going to play a bluegrass version of a Beck song. All you have to do is identify it by title. And if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets. Who's our first contestant?
Let's start with Kathy from Pico Rivera. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Kathy, I hope you like Beck. Listen up and see if you can tell us what song this is done bluegrass style, okay?
Okay.
Bluegrass can make anything bad.
That is terrible music. That is really, truly awful.
That's terrible.
But it is recognizable as a very popular Beck song. Which one is it, Kathy?
I think it's Where It's At.
Boy, that sounded nothing like that. Nicely done.
Yeah.
You are in the drawing. You're one step closer. Who's up next?
Next is Letitia from Long Beach. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
We know this is a tough game. We got a bluegrass version of a Beck song. Tell us what the song is. Listen up.
Oh, God. Is it Blue Moon? Oh.
Sorry. Sorry, it's girl. Thank you, though, for playing. Let's go to Ozzy. Hi, Ozzy.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. All right, you ready for your bluegrass music?
Yes, I am.
This is going to be bad, but it is a Beck song. Tell us which one.
Why does this exist? Have we figured that out? Like, why did musicians go into a studio to record this? Why is it out? Who buys it? What's the point?
I'm asking the same question.
I don't know.
What song you think that might be, Ozzy?
Devil's Haircut.
Yeah!
Maybe that's why it exists, is to give Ozzy a chance to win Weenie Roast tickets. All right, so two in the drawing so far. Who's next?
Next is Joe from Laverne. Hi there. Hello, Joe.
Nope.
Joe?
Going once? Going twice? Let's move on. Joe, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I knew I could find you. Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Bluegrass sucks, but name the song.
Hope someone's alarm just went off during that.
Me too.
That's horrible.
Yeah, it is horrible.
I don't even know. I'm going to go Loser.
All right, not bad. I think her name's Deborah. That was Deborah.
I think I got the strength for maybe one more contestant and I'm out.
You kidding? This is great. Jose from Van Nuys. Hi.
Good morning, Tim and B.
You,
good
big,
luck.
Big bluegrass fan?
I love bluegrass.
I'm sure you do. Here you go.
Okay, that's a melody we recognize. What's the song, Jose?
I couldn't really hear it. I'm just going to have to guess. Loser?
Sorry.
Okay, thanks for playing anyway. Ozzy is in the drawing. Also, Kathy, who's going to be in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014, Lisa?
The winner is Ozzy.
Ozzy! Yay! Congratulations, Ozzy.
Thank you very much.
Third row for the Weenie Roast.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
Thank you for sitting through this awful form of music.
And that was Blueback. We'll see you at the Weenie Show. Yeehaw.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Wednesday morning, time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman walks in.
Come here.
He looks.
Come here.
He looks like he's got something late-breaking right off the presses.
I'm here. I'm here.
Do you have something late breaking right off the presses?
Nope.
Okay.
I was just preoccupied because the reviews are starting to roll in for my first ever comic book.
Oh, fantastic.
Today is the day. Today is the day that the very first chapter of Batman 66 Meets the Green Hornet is now available in digital format. If you go to a place called Comixology with an X, you can download digital comics there. Or you can go to a DC Comics' own website. You can download it there. Or if you're a Kindle user, you can go to Amazon.com and get it there. But Batman 66 Meets Green Hornet, chapter number one, is finally live this morning on the internet.
And
the
nerd alert! Nerd alert!
How dare you, sir?
And the reviews?
People seem to be loving it.
Fantastic.
Which I'm very excited about because the first chapter is sort of, you're just warming up. You're starting to lay the groundwork for the story, and then it really starts to take off later. So people are liking this. I think they're really going to enjoy what's coming.
Sweet.
So the first chapter is available digitally today. Next Wednesday, the second chapter digitally will come out. And then on June the 4th, you can get it in print. Like the old-timey comic books, it'll be printed and available in your comic book stores on June 4th. And then on June 7th, I'm going to be doing a signing at Golden Apple Comics on Melrose and La Brea. And it's very exciting for me because that's my comic book store.
This is dream come true time.
So they're going to have a big event on that Saturday at 1 p.m. and they're going to have me down and I'm going to be signing autographs on the comic books for people and stuff and everything. It's good times. So
is it worth my $1.99, Ralph, today? Is that what you're telling me?
I believe it is.
Okay.
I believe it is. I think you will enjoy it. And it's just like Bean says, just $1.99. For corn's sake. I mean, hot fudge, holy moly.
Yeah!
Hot fudge, holy moly! What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! I'm gonna have some fun!
Anyway, it's exciting times we live in, isn't it, people?
It is.
Molly Ringwald is back. Hollywood Reporter says she's been added to the cast of an upcoming movie. Great, because Molly Ringwald, I think, is a very talented actress. You don't see her very much anymore. Hope she's in something high-profile and prestigious, and she gets all of the attention she deserves because she's back.
Okay.
She will be one of the stars of Gem and the Holograms.
What?
The movie Gem and the Holograms, based on the 1980s animated series.
Live action?
Gem and the Holograms.
Animated.
Oh, yeah, it's live action. They're bringing Gem live to the screen. Finally, you know, all those years, everybody said, oh, Gem's the best. I miss Gem. Where's Gem? Now we get a big live-action Gem and the Holograms movie.
I didn't hear that question
ever. Oh, Gem really? Is outrageous. Gem is just outrageous. Truly, truly, truly outrageous.
Me and my friends are Gem girls. Oh. Gem. Gem is my name. Truly outrageous. That's a Gem girl.
She's outrageous.
It's
a
truly outrageous.
Exciting adventure, fashion, and fame. What's your
Gem.
I like that.
Why do you suppose Molly Ringwald, who, as you pointed out, Ralph, doesn't work that much, why would she choose this?
I can only imagine the mortgage is due.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe she's got kids who love Gem or something. I'm at a loss. I was excited to see she was coming back to act, and then I was stunned to see the project. So, Gem.
Gem.
Gem is her name. Macklemore wants you to know he didn't realize that he looked like a stereotype of a Jewish person when he put on that costume. He's sending out a lot of messages this week, apologizing, took to Tumblr yesterday to explain how he ended up performing the costume of a stereotypical, greedy, hook-nosed Jewish caricature. Had no idea that people could take it that way.
If that's true, it's kind of hard to believe.
He said the costume could, in his quote, could, within a context of stereotyping, be ascribed to a Jewish caricature, but it was absolutely not my intention. And unfortunately, at the time, I did not foresee the costume to be viewed in such regard. But he also adds, hey, I did that song about gay people, remember? I'm cool, right?
I don't think
so
he
we're
said
cool.
that.
He actually, in so many words, did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He did mention his song Same Love and then continued by saying, I will let my body of work and causes for which I've supported speak for themselves regarding his ability, whether he could ever possibly be anti-Semitic or not. And he also spelled anti-Semitic wrong in his statement. So, who knows? Maybe he doesn't even know what it means.
It's legitimate, though, for him to bring up, look, I'm not a guy who has a history of marginalizing other people. Mm-hmm. I am pretty much a big tent kind of guy.
Except for the Jews.
Well,
he said, I like everybody except the Jews.
Look, we don't say that.
I like the gay people. I am anti-consumer, but I am not a big fan of the Jews, is what he said.
He didn't say that.
That's what he
said. We don't know what happened. We can all guess. But I can't understand, and I think you guys can too, how it wouldn't occur to you that some might interpret that as a stereotypical.
Well, it may not occur to you, Bean. Because you
can see how that would happen.
You are comfortably divorced from humanity, which I think comes in handy sometimes.
When I saw the photo, I thought he looks exactly like Ringo Starr to me. He's got a Beatles 66 haircut, he's got Ringo's nose, and that's what he looked like to me. I didn't even think Jew.
Aren't you adorable? I saw that.
How do you feel about the Jews?
Whoa, somebody's in trouble. Is Sacha Baron Cohen doing something to tick somebody off? That's what I thought when I first saw it.
I don't like working for that Jew.
Thanks, Donald Sterling. We don't need your help at all here.
Donald Sterling has a long history of being inclusive. He's a big tent kind of guy.
Sure, that's
Donald
him.
Sterling.
Yeah.
And don't buy it, says Candy Spelling, about Tori Spelling being down and out. Candy Spelling showed up on one of those chick talk shows, the Talk, last Monday. And they said, oh, yeah, well, how can you stand by when your daughter is broke and her marriage is falling apart and her children have to eat sand off the beach to fill their bellies? And Candy Spelling went, whoa, 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 whoa. Tori is very successful, is very comfortable financially. She said, I would never leave my kids in distress. I even bought them a home in Malibu, she said.
Well, that's very different.
So this is leading to speculation that all of this hullabaloo may be trumped up to make better ratings for her reality show about how she is struggling financially and personally. And you got to get eyes to the set, right? So Candy Spelling sort of...
Are you telling us that we can now no longer trust what is on reality TV?
Except for that one show where the chicks are marrying the Prince of England, because that's real. That is happening. They are.
I want to marry Harry.
They are going to end up being in the royal family if they meet.
I don't think they get together
with the prince.
I don't think that's true.
That's for real.
No.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Al Franken, former actor and writer, now politician. He is 63 years old today. Mr. T is 62. So glad to see that after his battle with cancer. Remember, Mr. T was sick there for a while with lymphoma. Judge Reinhold, 57 years old. UFC ring announcer Bruce Buffer, 57. Lisa Edelstein, the actress, very talented, 48 years old. Fairuza
Balk. What's your ruling on Bell for Miss Edelstein, by the way?
Oh, I think she's very sexy. I don't think she's conventionally pretty, but I think she's enormously sexy. So I would say Bell.
I agree. Not conventional, but sexy.
Yeah. There. All right. It's been decided. Fairuza Balk is 40 years old today. I also think the same rules apply. And Gautier is hot.
Mm-hmm.
I would wreck him. I'd wreck him with Kimbra. He is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You saw him playing a prince on television last night. The star of I Want to Marry Harry, actor Matthew Hicks, joins us in studio coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Amin Show. First, though, hey, Lightning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Lightning's been recently our man on the street. Of course, he has a long history with the Kevin Amin Show, former producer of the program some years back. But lately you've been taking the K-Rock microphones out on the street. What was the topic we were discussing this week?
Well, we wanted to get some hangover cures, preventative measures, and then hangover cures for the morning of when your head is just pounding.
Okay.
And I guess this started last week on the show when you guys were talking about the Esquire article where Jim Cook, the founder of Boston Beer, and Sam Adams – had revealed that his secret was having a teaspoon of yeast prior to each beer.
Prior to each beer seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, and he was mixing it with yogurt, which sounds like not what you want to do when you're partying and carrying around a thing of your play.
But is it worth it if you could drink, you know, all night long and wake up the next day and feel fine, though? I mean, that was kind of his point is, yeah, it's not the greatest thing in the world, but it's worth it, right?
I think so. But in taking kind of an informal poll around the office here, no one really preps for drinking. I was talking to Omar, and he just told me that just this last year he started drinking water, so toggling between cocktail,
just this
water.
Last year he learned that?
Yeah. A little slow.
What?
Yeah, but people don't really prep. They just
and often don't plan to overdrink.
That's true. No.
That's something that just happens in the moment.
You never plan to overdrink until after the first beer, and then you're gone.
Exactly.
But, so we ran that by Dr. Drew, and he said, well, you know, maybe, maybe not. It's a certain kind of yeast that you have to have, and that made it even less likely that I, for one, am going to plan that.
Too difficult, too scientific.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, when you went out, like, did you talk to people about prepping or talk to people about what do they do the next day when they wake up, how they can get their legs back under them?
Yeah, I asked for both. And, being at the K-Rock Santa Anita microbrew, I figured that, if I was going to find drunks that had solutions, that was the place to do it.
Other than this building.
Well, yes.
And that's the place
and you
want to go.
Yes.
All right.
And I was surprised by the answers. Not a lot of sophisticated solutions.
I don't need sophisticated. I just need it to work.
Yeah. Well, you'll find there are some interesting ideas here.
Lightning can be deadly. Don't take chances with lightning. Stay safe.
Everybody say hey!
Lightning is violent and unpredictable.
Everybody say ho!
Even today, nobody fully understands the effect lightning has on its victims.
Everybody scream!
When lightning strikes, people listen.
You do ho-hey better than anyone.
Oh, yes, I do.
Thank you. Yes. Whatever the hell that is. All right, let's talk hangovers.
Lightning reporting from Santa Anita. I figure, what better place to get cures for a hangover than a microbrew?
Lots of water. And then drink a beer in the morning, or four. Get a really good Bloody Mary going.
Oh, with bacon. What do you tell them about that one?
I had a Bloody Mary with bacon in it.
Probably just sweat it out, so probably morning sex is the best thing.
You're looking at me a little strange.
I mean, a little with a lot of chili.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What does the chili do?
It makes you sweat. Sweat it out.
Sounds like it would run right through you, like you'd be a mess on the toilet.
Part of the game.
The best thing I do is I try to drink a water. As I'm drinking all the alcohol and pounding down shots, I try to drink water to back it up and indulge in a little 420, and when you wake up, that helps you feel a lot better. That is what it is. It helps. It helps the head. So,
Alka-Seltzer. It works every time.
Cold shower.
But your head's pounding. That's going to get your head to stop pounding?
Yeah.
Seafood, like a shrimp cocktail, you know, all different seafoods, you know, takes care of the hangover.
So, like, you're in bed and you feel like ass.
Yeah.
And your head's spinning. And you're sick to your stomach, and then you eat seafood?
Yep. Seafood, shrimp cocktail, and it hits
the spot. To get you to barf? Like, what's that about?
No, it just settles, and it's light, and it just hits the spot.
I heard Tylenol works the night before, so...
You heard?
Yeah, I heard Tylenol works the night before.
Hangover remedies, what do you got?
I drink a couple beers, and I sleep the whole day, so like 6 o'clock at night.
So what if you were supposed to work that day?
I'm calling sick.
More booze. Yeah. Beer. Tequila. I think tequila is the way to go.
Pedialyte.
Yeah, Pedialyte.
Believe it or not, Pedialyte.
So for children.
Yeah, for children, but it actually works good for us.
Yeah.
You take milk thistle and B complex before you start drinking.
Are you a doctor?
No.
So how do you cure a hangover?
Kick him out of bed.
How do you cure a hangover?
Sex.
Man or woman? Chevella, the next morning. What is that?
It's the beer with the tomato juice and the clamato and the lime, salt, rum.
A nice hot soup, you know what I mean? Just like...
Wait, a nice hot soup?
Yeah, hot soup, you know what I mean? Just
what kind of soup, like minestrone?
No, you get some like some pho, you know what I mean? Put a lot of sriracha in there, make it nice and spicy.
That's going to come out the other end.
True.
How do you cure a hangover?
By drinking more.
So, the same thing you were drinking the night before?
Yes, sir.
What about the next day?
Keep on drinking.
So now you're into Thursday.
Then we're You just sweat it out.
Sweat it out how?
Get a chick on top of you. She's got to be big and fat.
Oh, my God. I'm not drinking.
A lot of creative solutions there.
Yes, but any that you want to try?
Not a single one.
Not one for me.
Nope.
These 12 women have come to London, England, looking for true love. When they meet a real Prince Charming.
Our boyfriend's someone big. That's Prince Harry.
No way.
It can't be.
He's Prince Harry, and I know it.
This could be a true Cinderella story.
Prince Harry is my ideal guy. He's charming. He's my dream guy.
Only in this fairy tale, it's the prince who's hiding a secret.
And the secret is that he's a big, fat liar. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Hicks joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is not Prince Harry on I Want to Marry Harry Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Good morning. Good, thank you. Cheers for having me.
What a bizarre turn of events for you. In a million years, a few months ago, you never would have imagined that you would be the star of a primetime American TV show. This has got to be the freakiest thing that's ever happened to you.
I think bizarre sums it up pretty well. A few months ago, I was clearing up oil spills with the environmental consultancy company I was with, and now here we are.
Clearing up
here
oil spills.
Does this seem better?
What are the oil spills supposed to do now that you're not there?
I know, right?
Right?
I'm sure someone else can do just
all
as
right.
good a job.
Okay. So you are 23 years old, is that right?
24.
Now. Yeah. Okay. And you had a little bit kind of put yourself out there as being a guy who looked like Prince Harry. There's nothing you can do about that. That's just how you guys both ended up
That's
looking.
Just the genetics I got.
The genetics, right. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Pretty good deal. So you were on, as I understand it correctly, that the people who make the TV show found you on a website that had something to do with celebrity lookalikes. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so I'd gone a few years being told that I bore a resemblance to the royals. So
how often?
Fairly regularly.
Just
most,
a lot
most
of
nights
people.
Out.
Most nights out.
Yeah, nights out. You get double takes in the street. And
did they think you were Prince Harry, or you just they knew you looked
they
like
knew
him?
I just looked like him, and it was a novel idea. And they were like, there's a few people said, there's an industry. You can make some money out of this. I was like, really? So I
I'm cleaning up oil. I'm looking for that.
So I put some pictures on a website. They accepted my profile, and it went from there. So if people wanted me for events, they just emailed through. And prior to this, I'd only done a few small, really small ones.
Like what?
Turning up at nightclubs, promotion events, VIP dues. And then production got in touch and said, how about this idea?
Now, it's one thing to show up at a nightclub in front of a couple of hundred people and have a few drinks and get a check and go home. It's another thing to keep up an entire facade over the course of weeks of filming where you where the entire thing rests on your ability to act, right?
Not so much act, but lie, I guess.
Lie, okay. Could be the same
thing. Which isn't any better.
So what was the vetting process like from the TV producers? They sit you down and they must have really put you through so much before they agreed to do this show with you, right?
There were about five or six interviews, and the first one was a Skype one where they just wanted me to talk through past experiences in the role. And then I went in. We had this weird audition one that I've got no acting experience or TV background, so I did it. Felt like quite a special child doing it, and then came out the other side and was like, "Well, there's no way I'm going to get this job."
Really? You thought it was a disaster?
Yeah, I never really had any expectations. I assumed there'd be people with more experience, people that had acted and been on TV before. So I just went away from that one. And then they were like, can you come back for another one? I was like, really? and then we had another two or three face-to-face, and then they told me the premise of the show and said that, if I want it, it's mine.
Okay, so the show just debuted last night.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to... I don't know if it's not allowed, but you don't claim to be Prince Harry on the show. You pretty much let everything around you and the girls let them draw that conclusion without you saying it, right?
This was the premise of the show. So at no point was I to confirm or deny and, come out outright and say, I am Prince Harry. The idea was to let them make their own assumptions, come to their own conclusions, and it was all about the perception. So we wanted to see how their perceptions changed when they thought, I was someone of status of wealth, if I was a royal person, if their perceptions changed at all. And when it comes to the end, if they've, if they've come around to believing that they're dating a royal, how will their perceptions change once again when there's a big reveal and I say, look, I'm not Prince Harry, I'm just this average guy, Matt Hicks.
But they're going to kill you.
But you well, you'll have to find out.
But you can come with me to clean up oil.
Yeah, exactly.
The second half of that.
Exactly.
So, Matt, how did you handle the – there must have been many times where they asked questions about, hey, tell me about Princess Diana. Hey, what's the queen like? I mean, you must have dealt with a lot of those. What were your responses to those?
Well, because I never came out and said, I am Prince Harry, they didn't want to, ask – specific questions about the Royals because they weren't sure at this point.
Oh, so no one directly asked you?
Not until later on. A few more inquisitive questions came later on. But, I mean, at the start, you know, they were like, so have you got family? And I'd mentioned my older brother, which I've got an older brother who is a similar age gap to Harry and William. And then they were talking about their niece and nephews. I'd say, well, we've just had a new nephew in the family.
Oh, look at you.
I just sort of drip-fed lines
like it.
As it went along and let them come to their conclusion.
But they see the castle, they see the butlers, they see the security team and the helicopters and the cars and the suits.
They got the full treatment.
The full thing.
Yeah, they did. Fake paparazzi, security, everything you'd want.
Now, the women were all American?
Yes, from all across the States.
Is that because nobody in England would have bought it?
I don't think they would have, but we see Harry almost on a daily basis in the press and have a more exact idea of what he looks like. But I think, on a whole, most Americans have this image.
Right.
And it's, you know, relatively athletic, tall, red-headed chap in...
And you're close enough.
Yeah. and then there's the close resemblance. So I think that all put together with... You know, if you put enough ingredients together, then you come out with something good in the end. And
sure. What's the reaction been from the British press about this show even existing?
I mean, most press has generally been, you know, positive. The British press haven't really caught up on it too much yet. I think there's been a bit more whilst I've been over here.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not coming out there for a couple of weeks yet.
Are they the type of a press that would enjoy this, or they would be critical?
I think your press is pretty rough. I think there'll be a lot of critics.
But do you think they'll enjoy the fact that all of these women were so fooled?
That's the bit I think the British will enjoy.
They will enjoy
that. They will enjoy that part.
Those American stupid
Americans.
Girls.
Oh, dumb.
But they love to get one up over on us ever since they lost us, I think. All right, we need to take a very quick break. Our guest is Matthew Hicks here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the star of I Want to Marry Harry, which airs Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox. When we come back, we have to talk about these girls. I promise you, Matt, trust me on this. These are not the best women America has to offer. But we'll talk about your experiences about them when we return right after this on K-Rock. Matthew Hicks in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was on your TV last night on Fox portraying the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry. He's not Prince Harry, you guys. He's just a guy who looks like him. But these girls, they so badly want a fairy tale wedding. They so badly want to be a princess. Matt, you broke some hearts, dude.
I think that's why it worked so well, is because every little girl wants to be a princess. So
sure.
Even skeptical ones, you know, they wanted to believe that this could be happening.
Right.
Yeah.
And they saw it happen for reals with Kate Middleton just a couple of years ago.
Yes.
From obscurity, and now she's...
It could happen to anyone.
Yeah. What is... In Britain, by the way, the people... We talk some about the royal family here on this show. Kevin's not a fan. But what do people think about Prince Harry over there? Is he popular in Britain?
Yeah, he is. Regular celebrity, I guess. Everyone just... sees him as this down-to-earth guy who's got, you know, got a lot of, not a huge responsibility. Now he's not going to be king, but he's got a lot of responsibilities and he's got an image to uphold. And
is there a lot of scrutiny in the press?
Huge amount of scrutiny, yeah.
What he does, where he goes?
Yeah,
speaking
everything.
Of which, you were shooting this show when? Just after Prince Harry went to Las Vegas
and brought
the girls up to his room. Remember that whole scandal?
Yeah. I do remember.
That was awesome. I was like, you go. You should get something out of this. But that happened just before you filmed. What?
So that was all pretty fresh in the press when it came round to shooting this. So all the girls were inquisitive. They wanted to know what had gone on.
Sure.
but, I mean, they weren't direct in asking because, you know, I hadn't come out and said I was Harry. So... You know, they wanted to know, had I been to Vegas, where had I stayed?
Oh, they were trying to beat around the bush?
Yeah, everyone.
Oh,
so there was a lot of that the whole way
through. Did you take any photos? I don't know, with girls?
Maybe.
You know, I guess it kind of worked in your favor that they also are nervous because they're not sure what the protocol is around royals, so they don't want to get too personal. So in a way, that really worked in your favor that they kind of stayed away from some of those tough questions.
The whole premise of the show is... quite frankly brilliant, because it all led towards, you know, they couldn't be too nosy, they couldn't, you know, be a little bit out of line. They had to sort of keep it, you know, quite tidy and just be respectable, I guess, just in case they were talking to a prince.
You don't want to mess up and get thrown out on a technicality that you weren't aware, right? I mean, you basically have rules you have to follow when you're around
the royal family. Exactly. They could get thrown in the Tower of London or something.
Yeah. Now, these are all attractive women.
Uh-huh.
Did you find that you were developing any sort of feelings towards any of them?
Yeah, I mean, law of averages,
I mean,
says if you chuck 12 attractive women, I'll probably like at least a few of them.
What were you allowed to do and not do when it? And I think you know my meaning here.
I do know your meaning. Essentially, we were allowed to do anything, but we spent no time away from the cameras. When the cameras weren't there, girls went that way. I went the other way. So,
I see.
Was it up to you to decide who stayed or the producers?
It was entirely my choice.
It was.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
nice.
If I went on a date one day and thought this girl's not my cup of tea, then she could get the boot the next day.
So, all right.
And
they
kill
them. It
was
real
them.
In that way.
They kill them.
Yeah, they do kill them. That's accurate.
I mean, I haven't seen them since. I really don't.
They kill them.
The montage that they show of upcoming scenes from the rest of the season, though, there's no question you are making out hard with all of them, right?
Not all of them.
Most of them, though.
11 of them.
there was some making out. I mean, I had to, really, didn't
you had to
I?
Be
sure,
right?
I mean, you had to play the role.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right. Now, I know you can't give much away, but at some point as it got several weeks in and you'd gotten to know these girls and spent quite a bit of time with them, you had to have started to feel a little bit bad that they were so fooled, right? Because you knew the reveal was coming, and you knew you were going to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah. But the premise of the show is to find out, are these girls shallow or not?
I could answer that without the show.
Yes, they are. We'll have to wait and see.
Yes,
they
are.
At the end, you know, when I reveal, do I get a slap in the face and told to go back to my job and they've got no interest because I'm not a royal, I've got no status, or are they, you know, are they okay with me just being Matt Hicks?
So I can't. Yeah, I mean, I think that's unrealistic that somebody who in their mind is set up for I'm going to be a princess is then going to go, I'm going to date a poor guy.
Well,
I think that's a tough road.
It's also
you'll have to
more,
see how I play it during the show.
It's also more complicated because if you are a royal, then everything is handled. You know, they're from America. Going to England is a whole thing. But if you're just a regular dude, that's a whole nother ball of wax.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole way through, I was trying to pretty much be myself, but just when I answer questions, I answered as Harry. So if they asked about my career, I talk about the military instead of environmental consultancy. But I didn't really change who I was. So essentially, they were getting to know me-ish.
Did you? there have to have been some moments, and I'm sure we'll see some of these as the season unfolds, where you screwed up or where a light bulb went off over their head and they went, wait a minute, this isn't adding up.
The girls weren't stupid. There were a lot of skeptical ones in there. So it was the whole process coming together that made them believe. But as far as I'm aware, I think I may have slipped up a few times, but nothing jeopardized the show.
No one caught it.
I think a few girls did. But I mean, whether or not they played along with it or, you know, they didn't come outright and say it. So,
there's also peer pressure because even if they have doubts, they're still not sure. There are other girls around them going, "Oh yeah, it's totally him." And there's kind of a mind hive thing happening.
It just needed that seed of doubt to be saved.
Exactly.
Really. And as long as that seed of doubt was there, then you can run with that.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to see the way this thing unfolds. It's 8 episodes altogether, Matt. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And it's Tuesday nights at 9 on Fox. It's called I Want to Marry Harry. I can't imagine in a million years you end up with a girl, but I hope you do.
Who knows?
Congratulations on the show, and thanks so much for coming in. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Cheers.
Keep on listening for your chance to win tickets in the third row for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 coming up a week from Saturday at Verizon. And go to krock.com for the details. That's coming up. Rob is here. Time for the show. BizBeat, what's happening?
Sad news. Paul McCartney has canceled his entire tour of Japan. He is very, very ill. Doctors say he has not recovered from being hung up on during a radio interview in Los Angeles.
That is just a lie.
He is beyond depressed, say his doctors. No one has ever hung up on him before. He simply cannot get over it. Paul has said he may never perform again due to the emotional toll that being hung up on has taken.
Where'd you get that quote from, Ralph?
That's from the Gazette.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You say goodbye, but Kevin's already hung up. Hung up. I don't know why you say goodbye. Kevin's already hung up.
That's about right.
Yeah. He's got a nasty virus that apparently people get when they are dissed, say doctors. He was dissed. I was surprised. I didn't know that was a medical term.
I don't think it is.
It does seem like, as a living legend, you reserve the right to not be hung up on, right?
I think so.
How dare you?
His doctors have ordered complete rest and say he may recover if he gets a chance to punch the douchebag in the face, said one surgeon.
Let me go back to the tape. Maybe we're being too hard on Kevin. Let's listen again and see if, in fact, he really was hung up on. So listen up.
Okay. See you guys. Bye.
That was
definitely hung up.
No question.
He didn't know. He said bye, and the line was dead, and he moved on.
He didn't say bye at all. He said bit.
Sam.
He was supposed to play the Budokan tonight in Tokyo. Last time Paul played there was in 1966 with the Beatles.
Wow.
Paul says, if you have a problem with me not performing, kevin@krock.com.
He didn't say that at
where you should send all of your anger and your penis pictures.
What?
Yeah. That's odd that he would add that, but maybe he's just trying to get back.
Kevin, you broke a lot of hearts in Asia, man.
That's all I got.
Japan has bad memories, Paul McCartney. Things have not worked out well there for him. He was busted for marijuana possession back in 1980 when he was touring there with Wings. And he said being hung up on is worse than going to prison.
He didn't say that.
Yeah, so it's tough.
I heard, by the way, Ralph, and you're a Beatles fan, so maybe you can confirm what I heard, and that is that those 8 nights that he spent in jail in Tokyo are the only time in his entire marriage to Linda McCartney that they ever were apart for a night.
For more than one.
The only time.
They were together constantly.
Inseparable. Isn't that amazing? You think a guy who travels as much as he did and everything like
That's why
they
put her in the band, so they would never have to be apart.
Yep.
It wasn't for her musical talent.
We all suffered for that decision.
Who wants to own the L.A. Clippers? Well, apparently, Arsenio Hall.
What?
Yep. Arsenio Hall wants to own the Clippers. Arsenio has set up a crowdfunding Indiegogo campaign to raise the money to buy the team. As of yesterday afternoon, he was almost there. He had raised $1,767.
Okay. Did you say $1,700?
$1,767.
And then you said almost there.
Yeah. He's just looking for a billion. So.
How much time does he have left?
It's hard to say.
Right. It's probably a 30-day campaign he's got going on. When you're buying a sports franchise, that's money that may be too big for crowdsourcing. I think you actually have to come with, you're going to have to come to the table with something, I think.
I don't know. If you donate to the campaign, you could get your name on the dog pound wall at Arsenio's studio. That's an incentive. How about VIP tickets to the show? You might get to introduce Arsenio on the show, or for $100,000, you can be his sidekick for an entire episode.
Leaves this reviewer cold.
I think Bean should be his sidekick for an entire episode for $100,000.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
Bean knows the people love him.
He does.
And Bean's got that dog pound thing down. Remember the dog pound bark?
Yep.
He's got that down. He knows how to do that.
Ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
Would you like to have that for a whole episode?
That took us
Mr. Cotter.
I think that took us about 10 years to realize he was trying to do the dog pound sound. Like we just thought he was saying ooh ooh like a white guy.
I just feel like
have any idea
if he's only raised $1,000 so far.
Oh
so
no,
far,
I think he's got a good start.
Maybe the people don't love him.
I just heard a guy say the people did love him.
I heard that on the radio.
The guy may have
been misinformed.
You guys excited for Schmaken?
Say again?
I just got the countdown for Schmaken, that's all.
What Schmaken?
Schmaken.
Is bacon and...
It's bacon made out of beef. It's made from beef slices instead of pork. It's a healthier alternative. Half the fat and calories. 60% less sodium. Appears on stores this summer. I've got a countdown. I've got a Schmaken calendar.
Schmaken calendar.
Schmaken calendar. I'm counting down to Schmaken.
That is fantastic.
If I can get Schmaken and bubble berries this summer, I'm going to have a hell of a feast. That's all I got to tell you.
Do you have any meat? I've been dreaming about it.
Schmaken. That's the name of it. That's what they're calling it.
The real name of it?
Schmaken. Bacon Schmaken, I guess. And I don't know about this. I don't understand it. I never knew it happened, but apparently it's happening again.
Okay.
The CMT Music Awards. Are you familiar with the CMTs?
Sure.
Country
That's
Music
country
Television.
Music? Yeah, never seen it. But
Music Awards. Yeah. For the third time, they've announced their host will be Kristen Bell.
Yes. Yes.
This is her third time hosting that show.
She does it. She does a nice job with it.
Is she a closeted country music fan or something?
Not closeted at all. She's very, very out. She loves country
she's
music.
She's been outed as a country music fan?
Well, you're asking if she was closeted. I'm saying, no, it's not a secret. She doesn't hide it at all.
Well, how can that be? How can she be that? How can that happen?
Because lots of people enjoy country music.
No, but seriously, how does that happen? What happened
it's
to her?
It's a popular form of music in this country.
But was
she's a bitch.
I don't think that makes her a bitch, Kevin.
What are you talking to me for?
Because you played that drop. Oh. And get ready, it's coming. The first African-American film about male strippers. Of course, Magic Mike was a huge hit. So in order to merge that phenomenon with the recent strength of African-American-themed films at the box office, it has been announced in production as a film called Chocolate City. Oh, yeah. Take me down to Chocolate City. Give me a big bar of chocolate. That's what ladies will be saying.
I doubt it.
Great-looking, buff, semi-nude African-American gentleman. I might go to this movie. That's all I'm saying.
It does seem to have everything you love.
Big, big crowd for this film.
Sure.
I'm going to Chocolate City.
It's not Madea's strip movie or anything like that, is it?
Golly gosh, I don't believe she's involved at all. I don't think so.
Okay.
Michael Jai White and Tyson Beckford have been announced so far as the cast. But there's going to be a young up-and-coming stripper that has yet been cast, that character. I might throw my hat in the ring. I might call my agents, have them send over.
You're not African-American.
You, sir, are racist.
Wow, Kevin, why are you coming at him like that? Why does it have to be about race for you?
Right. Why do you have to go there? Why do you have to play that card?
Oh, shit, here we go.
Yeah.
It's on.
It is.
Race war.
Yep.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down. It's going down. Race war. Come on. Race war.
This is why my people don't like your people.
Can't just be about talent. Can't just be about a guy who shows up and just gets judged for his content of his character. No, it has to be about skin color with Kevin.
Casting can't be colorblind. Not in Kevin's eyes. Nope.
Wow.
Oh,
that's disappointing in 2014 to meet a guy like that.
Okay.
I'm not sure you said it was
that's
an African American Magic Mike.
Uh huh. Right.
You described it that way.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
No. As long as you.
We're good then.
As long as you have that color line. As long as you make sure you stay on that side of the color line. That's all. That's fine.
Pulling a big black man. What's that from?
No idea. I think you've got the explaining to do, not me.
I think it's from your wedding night. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actor, politician Al Franken is 63 years old today. Mr. T, a pitted fool. Don't give me some cake. He's 62 years old today. Judge Reinhold is 57. Bruce Buffer, ring announcer for the UFC, is 57 as well. Lisa Edelstein from House, played Cuddy on that show for many seasons. She is 48. Fairuza Balk turns 40 years old, and singer Gautier is 34. I can't believe we're not going to play some people I used to know song.
Somebody that I used to know? No,
yeah.
Thank you.
I didn't hear that song nearly enough when it was out. It didn't seem to be very popular. Didn't get any radio play. Maybe we'll correct that in the next hour.
Or not.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
By the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean show, Ralph, your boss, Seth MacFarlane, is going to be joining us, talking about A Million Ways to Die in the West.
So I heard.
Also, one of my faves, Marc Maron, makes a return visit to the K-Rock Morning Show, and Dr. Drew. That's all tomorrow, plus an Internet Roundup, and we'll have tickets in the second row for the K-Rock Mini Roast 2014 right here on K-Rock.
With Marc Maron, we can talk about Pete and the Pig. The morning radio show team that's on,
yes,
on his
that's,
show this
sure
season.
That's the episode I am really looking forward to. They haven't aired
Pete
that one
Pig.
Yet.
You, Pete and the Pig. You guys are going to really like Pete and
very
the Pig.
Very concerned
Am I Pete
about
or the Pig?
That.
It's going to sound very familiar, the whole Pete and the Pig phenomenon.
All right. There are a lot of ways to get movie reviews. That's no secret. There are, you know, long-form shows on TV. Richard Roper, I think, still hosts a program all the way down to the six-second reviews. You can get them that way.
I like movies, too. I also enjoy filmings,
filmage.
But there's
also
a guy you got to meet if you're really looking for the right movies to go, particularly here in the summertime. And he is Party Bus Kevin, ladies and gentlemen.
How dare you? I'm Kevin with I did have a granola bar. my mouth was a little dry from granola bars.
Sure, it's not from drinking at all. So, Party Bus Kevin, what's your feature that's going to help us decide which movies to go see?
I can tell you good movie from the trailers that they show of the movies. So I will tell I will play a movie and I'll tell you a good movie and not good movie.
Okay. And what do we call this one, Party Bus Kevin?
It's my new segment called Kevin's Trailer Park.
Stupid, dumb, absurd. Stupid, dumb, absurd. That's what you'll say if your movie's not too loud. Stupid, dumb, absurd. Stupid, dumb, absurd. Who needs a storyline? Just make it loud. And now it's time for Kevin's Trailer Park.
All right, thanks, Fred Schneider. What's our first movie today, Party Bus Kevin?
The first movie that I saw the trailer of this, I was like, this movie is Transformers 4 movie. It's the fifth movie in the Transformers franchise.
You sure it's not fourth?
I don't know. Just let it go.
All right.
And it is a good movie. I can tell from the trailer. If you play the trailer, I will tell you. I'll show you how good it is. Oh, it's loud. That's good. Look.
The robot. Humans are hunting us.
Oh, look at the big robot.
I fear we are all targets now.
Oh, look at that. Guns are coming.
Oh. Who sent you here?
Here comes the missile.
This is not war.
Oh.
It's human extinction.
Oh, they're going to try to kill the humans. Here comes the...
How many more of my kind must be sacrificed?
I have faith, Prime. Maybe not in who we are. In who we can be.
Oh, look, they're blowing up!
We need a new army.
Oh, yeah! Oh, it's so good! Just listen how loud it is! Oh, I give that 4.5 louds.
Louds. That's your criteria? All
two
right, 4.5
louds. Up, 2 louds up, 4.5 louds.
So you that love that movie.
That going to be so good.
You can't wait to see that film.
No, because the Optimus Archimedes Prime is going to be firing the missiles and loud.
Loud indeed. Okay. All right. So that's movie one.
That's
4.5
one trailer I saw this week.
All right. What's the next one you're going to do for us?
I don't know. It's stupid, dumb, absurd movie. I think that's the name of it. Stupid, dumb, absurd. The sign of the times.
I think this is The Fault in Our Stars, I think, is the film you're going to do. Much anticipated movie based on the best-selling book.
Blah. Books. Books are for backseats only. Books.
I don't even know what that means.
Books. You put in the backseat, you leave it there. That's where the book goes. Don't read it. So here's the Star of the Times movie. Stupid.
I believe we have a choice in this world. How to tell sad stories. On the one hand, you can sugarcoat it. Nothing is too messed up that can't be fixed. Oh, Peter Gabriel song.
Boring.
I'm Augustus Waters.
Boring.
I've been
stupid.
In remission for about a year and
Augustus
a half.
Waters.
Why are you staring at me?
Name is that.
You're beautiful. What's your story?
Oh, what's your story?
What's your story?
Let's get ice cream.
I am quite unextraordinary.
I reject that at the hand.
Gus, I'm a grenade. One day I'm gonna blow up.
Oh, I wish you would blow up, but you don't.
Everything in my wake.
A lot of talking in this movie.
No explosion yet. Not one explosion yet.
You don't get to choose if you get hurt in this world, but you do have a say.
Oh, someone's talking.
Hazel Grace.
Oh!
I know that love is just a shout into the void. And
oh, love is a type of... stupid, dumb, absurd movie.
To keep me from you, you're going to fail.
You gave me a forever.
Are you still talking?
And I can't tell you.
You better shoot somebody.
For our little infinity.
It's a good life, Hazel Grace.
Give that girl a gun.
Okay.
Oh, is it still going? Oh, my God. Oh, can you imagine having to sit in the movie theater watch?
So you won't,
all of
you
the
won't,
talking?
You won't see that one, Party Bus Kevin?
Two louds down.
Two louds down. Oh.
Only half loud because she said the word grenade. So I give her half loud. Mm-hmm. But no actual grenades were ever heard harmed in the filming of this movie.
Well, this is very, very helpful.
I hate it. Don't go see it. Go see Transformers 7.
Okay. Done.
Kevin's Trailer Park. Park. Kevin's Trailer Park. Park. Who needs a storyline? Just put it at Loud Loud Park.
Talking to a friend of mine this week who is on a social networking dating site. I'm not sure which one. And he got together with a girl on Sunday night for bowling. First date.
Party.
Date lasted 49 minutes, start to finish.
Oh, wow.
Really? Did he run? Did she run?
Apparently, his complaint was just that he ran out of questions for her. She was completely uncommunicative, was not giving him anything back, gave her lots of openings to talk about herself, and asked no questions about him at all. So, I mean, it's pretty – I mean, at some point, if you're lobbing balls over the net and nothing's coming back, at some point you get tired of playing. So, 49 minutes, that's a bad – that's not a good date. That's not a good date
at all. I'd say not.
And that's what we're talking about right now is terrible –
I think the problem started with the bowling.
Well, that's possible.
Really?
Maybe that was the issue.
And then it went
south. But that's something that they agreed on ahead of time. She certainly could have said no to that if that's not what she wanted to do. It didn't sound like the bowling was the problem. It sounded like her personality was the problem.
Yeah. Well, that could be too.
But we're talking about bad first dates. It's been a long time since we've opened the phones up on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. But look, everybody's been on dates. Everybody's been on good dates. Everybody's been on bad dates. And sometimes it's not your fault, but sometimes it is. And sometimes it's the other person's fault. And you can't believe the way they behave, the things they say, the things they do on a first date. There was an article recently that was very funny. A woman named Tanya Edwards is a writer for Glamour magazine. And she was at a crowded bar in New York and was close enough to eavesdrop on a first date at the bar. She decided to live tweet it because she couldn't believe the stuff that was going on. Mm-hmm. And it picked
up
momentum.
So she was watching the interaction and then putting it up on Twitter so people could actually follow along live?
That's right.
Awesome.
She was overhearing the conversation, and she started live tweeting it. And all over America, people are all of a sudden invested in what's going to happen next in this date. And here are just a few of the things that she observed that this guy was doing at this date. Singles moment, guy and a gal at bar, woman sneezes, he doesn't say bless you to her, I judge him. So already she's down on him, all right? He just started talking at her about Bukowski, worst date ever is the hashtag.
Seriously?
He was a dark, ugly, nasty, foul writer from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. It's a little bit pretentious to bring up on a first date,
especially near the beginning, right?
And she goes on, and he suggested she had a salad. Worst date ever, hashtag.
Oh,
next
my
tweet.
God.
Next tweet. She does not need to, quote, have a salad. Hashtag worst date ever. Next tweet. Oh, F this guy. He's going on about Donald Sterling being entrapped.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Let's say for the sake of just for this example, you think Donald Sterling was set up.
Right.
You don't bring that up.
You don't bring that up on a first date. He just called her job cute. Hashtag worst date ever. Yep, he ordered a bottle of wine without consulting her, and he's not like my dad. Worst date ever. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, and he should interrupt her more.
Oh, man.
So apparently that I don't know what the outcome was of that date, if the girl was having a better time than this person was, who was overhearing it from the table next to him. But it is fascinating to see all the things that can go wrong on a first date, all the mistakes that you can make. Do we have time to even squeeze in one real quick?
Sure, we can do one. Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Jane real quick. She's on line one. She's from Ontario, and then we'll come back and take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Kevin.
You were Hello? Very quick on the phone when you heard the words bad first date, weren't you?
Oh, God, yes, it was the worst.
What happened?
Well, it was in Nevada, and I love to play blackjack, and I was at the blackjack table and struck up a conversation with this good-looking gentleman, and everything was going great. He says to me, can I take you for a steak and lobster dinner? And I said, well, sure, I'm single. So we went to the steakhouse there in the casino, and we're having a great conversation and throwing back some drinks and talking about our past and whatnot. And he digs into his bag that he had with him, and he takes out his papers. He passes them across the table to me, and he says, okay, don't get freaked out, but I just got paroled from prison today. And I'm using the money I got when I left prison to have a steak and lobster dinner with a beautiful girl. And then he probably just
Really?
What was he in prison for? Because that does make a difference.
You know, I don't know. I never got that far. It freaked me out so bad. I just didn't even get to finish my dinner. I didn't even get a doggy bag to go or anything. I just wide-eyed said, thank you very much. Thanks, but no thanks. And got up and left the table shaking.
Mm. Wow. Tough room.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he had the worst first date, not you had the worst first date.
Oh. I don't know. That's iffy.
Yeah, but it could have been anything. Who
sure.
knows?
It could have been anything, Lisa.
Could have been taxes.
Been in prison 10 different times, Kevin.
He had been locked away for a few years, he had said.
So well, that doesn't sound good. That doesn't sound that good. Mm. Look, as Kevin pointed out last week in a similar conversation, are there other men available who haven't been in prison? Then maybe you made the right choice. All right, Jade, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate that. It's mostly ladies calling in. You guys hang on. We are going to talk to you next right after this on K-Rock. I can already tell you we're not going to have enough time for this. This is going to be fun. We're talking about terrible first dates here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jennifer writes in, dear Kevin and Bean, 5 minutes in, he leaned across the bar and said, someone wants to come out and meet you while motioning to his junk.
Oh, no.
Kat says, this guy and I were having drinks at a bar sitting on the couch. There was a slight lull in the conversation, and he got up and walked away. I didn't know if I was supposed to wait there or leave or what. Turned out he had just gone to the restroom, but who doesn't at least say, be right back?
Excuse me for a minute or something. A
lot of surprises. Wow. Let's go to Deanna real quick. She's on line three. She's up first here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Bad first dates. What happened?
Hi. So, hi, Lisa.
Hello.
So, actually, I was out on this first date. This guy seemed really great. I find out halfway through the date that he was dating someone else. He had a girlfriend. I found out because her collegiate softball team saw us out around town because he decided to take me out in the college town where they both live.
Right.
I found out because her collegiate softball team started yelling at me, calling me a slut.
Oh, my banging, God.
Banging. They opened a door, like a see-through door, and hit him with it. So we're walking through a door, and one of the girls just comes and slams open a door. And this didn't stop the entire night. And I don't know why. At no point I said I'm going home.
So you just show up for a date, and all of a sudden you're a home wrecker.
Exactly, without knowing it.
Wow.
It gets better. I'm now married to him.
What?
What happened to you?
You're so dumb.
You make so many poor choices, Deanna. You really do.
No, actually, it got better, I promise. There's more to it, but it got a lot better.
Okay, well, listen, we're out of time for now.
We're going to have to leave it at your dumb.
Yeah, I think
sorry.
So.
I'm really sorry.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Chelsea real quick. She's in Burbank. She's on line two.
Could have seen that coming.
Hi, no Chelsea. Kidding.
Well, I met up with a guy off an internet dating website, and this guy shows up. And first of all, he's not the guy in the photos.
Even close, right?
Nope, not even close. Not the same skin color, nothing.
Okay, good.
Completely different. And the date went well, and then, kind of good. And then he left, and he asked me to come over. And I was like, no. And then on my way home, he texts me that he wants to Skype and see my boobs.
Ah!
So after one mediocre date, he wants to rush back home so he can Skype and look at your boobs.
Yes, yes. And then the next day, he texts me, hey, you should come over. And I was like, I don't know you. And then he texts me back, you have to F me to know me.
Oh.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So how was that? How did you like it?
I blacklisted him and blocked his number.
You did. Oh, okay.
All right. So you're uptight. All right, Chelsea, thank you for the call. Hey, here's a treat. Our first ever blacklister, still with us all these years, our old friend Mr. Anel Rivers joins us on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Anel.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey,
what's going on, buddy? Long time no talk. What's happening?
Oh, man, you know me making babies.
Sure. Sure.
Doing what I do best. So, yeah, my worst first date ever here. back in college, you know, I was trying to get my swerve on with a nice young lady. And I decided to take her to go see a lovely film called A Time to Kill, starring Sam Jackson.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, so, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this movie. It features a small young black girl getting raped by some drunken hillbillies.
That seems maybe a bad choice.
So needless to say, you know, after the day, you know, we go try to go to, you know, get on point so I can, you know, get on point. And she is like, take me home, not now, but right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I got to side with her.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You really do have to take into consideration what the movie is if you decide on a movie as a first date. Apparently, it can't be rapey. It cannot be rapey.
Yeah, apparently taking a black girl to a movie where a little black girl gets raped is in poor taste.
Well,
but there's a good ending to this story.
You married her?
I eventually went on to put a baby in her 20 years later.
Come on.
I'm talking about lovely Kenya, yeah.
Anel doesn't need any women that he doesn't at some point impregnate. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to one more. How about Christina? She's up next. She's on line 5 from Santa Monica. Hey, Christina.
Hello. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there.
Bad first dates.
So I had a date with this guy. 2 hours before the date, he decides to tell me that he doesn't have a car and that I have to go pick him up.
Okay.
So I go pick him up, and we drive down to Sunset Boulevard, where he has to stop into a liquor store for some reason, and doesn't tell me why, and then proceeds to direct me towards the Hustler store, where we park, get out, walk to the Hustler, through the Hustler store, to the Hustler store coffee shop, and order coffee as he pours Kahlua that he just bought from the liquor store into his coffee.
What a classy day.
He's a keeper.
That's amazing. So his idea for your first date was coffee at the Hustler shop.
You guys, this wasn't a date. He just needed a ride for his day.
How long did that last, Christina?
I drank that coffee faster than I've drank anything in my entire life.
Did you leave him at the Hustler store?
You know, I didn't. I'm a little too nice for
women
that,
are so nice.
Yeah.
They are so nice. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, my dear.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:57.
So much yelling in that song. So much yelling.
Too much yelling. Get off my lawn.
Ralph is here. It's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. Here on a Wednesday morning, Kevin and Bean Show.
I live in a magical moment in my life right now. I got so much going on. And it's very exciting. I got the comic book that came out today on Batman 66 meets the Green Hornet. Digitally released the first chapter this morning. You can get it at Comixology with an X, Comixology.com, or at the DC Comics website. So that's going to be happening for the next couple months. And then at the end of the month, on the 30th, I've got A Million Ways to Die in the West coming out.
Looks awesome.
This is a very, very funny movie that I have very little to do with, but I do show up in it a little bit. And I got to see it the other night, and boy, it's really funny. And, of course, Seth MacFarlane he's kind of a genius. And Charlize Theron is brilliantly funny in it, as is Neil Patrick Harris and Sarah Silverman and Giovanni Ribisi. And
it's quite a cast.
It's a great cast. Liam Neeson also in there. Couldn't be more proud to be part of this movie, and I'm very happy to give away some passes to our very special K-Rock screening of A Million Ways to Die in the West. All right,
really?
You know what?
Come on, do it or don't do it, Bean.
I know we're running late.
I know we're running late.
Don't do it.
Screw you up by hitting it again. No. You want it or you don't.
Do
want it
or don't. Happening May the 27th at the AMC Burbank 16. As I mentioned, the movie's in theaters everywhere on the 30th, but you'll get to see it before everybody else, if you call me right now, 1-800-520-1067, and first 5 callers will get through. We get a pair of passes to our very special screening of A Million Ways to Die. In the West. And if you watch it, if you watch carefully, you'll see me pop up a couple times in the movie. Like, there's this one scene where they're at this county fair, and there's a big shooting gallery there. Yeah, you know, they have these games and stuff that they play at the old-timey, Old West county fairs. And a wager is going on for $1.
A whole dollar. Okay.
And I play one of the townspeople, Dan, one of the townspeople in Old Stump, Arizona, where we all live. And me and my friends are watching this this wager take place, and our heads explode because the idea of someone actually having a dollar is beyond our comprehension.
A dollar?
I've never seen a dollar.
Nobody's got a dollar. Let us see the dollar.
We freak out over the possibility that there's a dollar in the crowd.
See the dollar.
Yeah, it's very entertaining. So, yeah, there you go. Call me now, and you get to go see the movie. I'm out of time already.
What movie?
Many Ways to Die in the West.
Nope.
Come on!
You suck.
We can't get you to stop playing the drops that we don't want you to play, and we can't get you to play the ones we do want you
to
play.
You're a bad human being.
Smallpox and bigger pox and deadly tomahawks. Oh, God, forbid you steal a pie.
The theme song.
They'll blast you into shards for playing good at cards. Because there's a million ways to die.
Pete has a whole movie.
Come on, the great Alan Jackson stepping up for A Million Ways to Die theme song. That's pretty strong.
Come on. Put your hands together. I've got this amazing list that the lovely and diminutive Chip gave me that I want to get to, maybe in the next hour because we don't have any time here. But it is a fascinating list. It's like a catalog, if you will, of your favorite musical artists and what it would cost you to get them to play a private event.
Oh, interesting.
Your head will explode. Not only how expensive some horrible bands are, but how cheaply you can get some really great bands as well.
You do see these stories every once in a while of, the Sultan of Brunei or somebody will hire, the Backstreet Boys to come play his kid's birthday party or something. You go, how do they do that? But I guess any band's available for enough money, right?
Everybody's got a price, and it'll shock you, I think, when you find out what you'll be paying for some people. Want to know what you'd pay for the band Daughtry?
That's not even on the list.
It
That's
is?
Just, you just have to give them free food, right?
No.
That's not on the list.
Cost you more than it does for Three Doors Down or 311.
Daughtry?
Really? Yeah. Daughtry is more expensive than 311?
I told you. It's fascinating.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about
this. It's a fascinating list. We'll get to it in the next hour. Today's celebrity birthdays, Al Franken.
Birthday.
Not too late to play that.
Nope. Got a lot of time left.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
I'm playing them all now, man.
Al Franken, 63. Mr. T is 62. Actor Judge Reinhold turns 57 years old. UFC ring announcer Bruce Buffer is 57. Lisa Edelstein from House is 48 years old. Fairuza Balk is 40 years old. Gautier celebrates his 34th birthday. And Chip informs me I forgot to mention the birthday of the Miami Dolphins punter.
Really?
Yeah.
Remember our old friend Mike Catherwood, who we think fondly on for a lot of reasons. A, he was the pre-beer mug part of our life, so that was great. But yeah. B, he used to have a lot of fascinating stories about all the inanimate objects that he had sex with. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Mike,
crazy days.
Yeah, he never met a couch or a wall or an automobile that he didn't want.
That's true.
Had a pretty high sex drive there as a young man. Well, I thought of Mike when I saw this story out of, unfortunately, not Florida, but Tennessee. This past Friday night, a man walks into a bar, drops his pants, then his underwear, and then attempts to have sex with an ATM.
Oh.
Now, I saw that story, and I really, for a couple of minutes, thought, how do you have sex with an ATM?
Because not to get into too many details, but all it really has is a slot to put your credit card in and a slot to take your money out. And neither of those seem super conducive to what you're looking for.
Right.
I don't know. I can't imagine that that's workable. I'll try. I'm willing to give it a shot.
I love money.
How
can I express my love of money?
Yeah, an ATM doesn't make a lot of sense. Lonnie Hutton is his name. He's 49 years old. He was at the Boro Bar and Grill in Murfreesboro, which is near Nashville, if I recall correctly. And the article, by the way, says that he allegedly sought to make a 9 p.m. deposit.
Hey!
He certainly did. A Murfreesboro Police Department officer was dispatched to the bar where a witness said that Hutton walked to the ATM, pulled down his pants, pulled down his underwear, exposed his genitals, then attempted to have sexual intercourse with the ATM. Now, after the encounter with the ATM, it doesn't sound like he was done. He then began to walk around nude around the bar, thrusting his hips in the air. He was escorted from the bar, told to sit at a wooden picnic table, where he allegedly again exposed himself and then tried to engage in sexual intercourse with the wooden picnic table.
Yay!
Now, again, I'm not positive. If you told me this is your job for the day, I don't know how that would work out.
Right. Like a picnic table, again, seems pretty closed for business.
Right.
Doesn't it? I don't know. But, I mean, he must have been awfully frustrated after that bitch, the ATM, turned him down. So he immediately went out.
I've been turned down by that bitch. It sucks.
Yeah. The ATM has turned you down many times over the years.
Not fun.
So then he goes outside and tries to do it with the picnic table. He was booked into a county jail on public intoxication charge. Oh, what a surprise. I didn't realize alcohol was involved at all. He remains locked up in lieu of $250 bail. He smelled of booze, had bloodshot eyes, had slurred speech. So he is going to schedule to be in court July 1st. By the way, your life's not going well if you are in jail possibly till July because you can't come up with $250.
Yeah, that's nothing. You're right.
Maybe that's why you need to go to the ATM. But that's tough. So anyway,
plus he's got splinters in his penis, and that's no fun.
That can't be fun at all.
Till July.
And isn't it shocking that this isn't in Florida?
It is, yeah.
This is Florida all over it, but it's Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee's trying to step up and battle for the crown.
That's right. So good time.
Hi, this is Randy Bishop, CEO of Varango Solar. Did you know power bills are expected to increase 40% in the next 5 years? That's why I founded Varango Solar and why I'm so proud. We are now the number one residential solar installer in Southern California. We make it easy for homeowners to save thousands on their electric bills. All it takes is a 5-minute phone call. We'll pull up a satellite image of your roof and tell you right there on the phone if you can switch to solar with no money out of pocket. There are no upfront costs. Because with Varango, you don't pay for the solar panels, you pay for the solar power at a lower rate than your electric utility charges you. And if Varango can't save you money, we won't take your business. You can go solar for zero down. Like Ed Asner says, Varango really has made going solar a no-brainer.
Call Varango Solar at 800-491-3200. A 5-minute call could save you thousands on your electric bills. That's 800-491-3200. 800-491-3200.
Certain terms and conditions apply. CSLP number 935263.
It's a no-brainer.
Is a bad credit score keeping you from getting the things you want? If you're being denied credit or paying high interest rates, call the experts at CreditRepair.com. With over 15 years of success helping thousands resolve their credit issues, we work to improve your credit by helping remove negative items from your credit report. Items such as late payments or even bankruptcy. Call 800-915-1453 for your free credit consultation. We'll help repair your credit so you can rebuild your future. 800-915-1453 for CreditRepair.com.
My name is Harold Finch. I built a machine of unrivaled power. The machine detects ordinary crimes before they happen.
You can call me Reese. In another life, I worked for the government, hunting down the world's most dangerous men. Now I stop bad things from happening to good people.
You've taken very good care of me.
My friend and I help people in trouble.
Thank you for giving me my life back.
The world is better off with both of us in it.
The hit drama, Person of Interest, CBS Tuesday.
Radio.com's
Eye on the Artist.
Imagine Dragons talk about their influences.
All of us grew up listening to the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, the Stones. All of us know our classic rock and, like, love that. So that influence had to be there. You know, there's a lot of electronic influence from, like, Subtract and Arcade Fire and Muse. And it's a huge, huge list of bands that have influenced each one of us individually and as a band.
Hear Imagine Dragons and all your favorite artists on Radio.com.
CBS Monday.
This is going to be fun.
There's something really new this season on Mike and Molly.
Yes, outstanding.
Because there are more laughs.
You don't want me to look like an idiot, do you?
I gave up that fight when you started wearing tube socks and sandals.
Than ever before.
My wife has been in a bar fight?
Well, not much of a fight. I hit him and he hit the ground.
Melissa McCarthy and Billy Gardell star.
What do you think?
I'm ready if you are.
In Mike and Molly.
Oh, it's going to be so great.
CBS Monday.
Motor vehicle injury victims, listen closely. With so many distracted drivers texting, emailing, and using their cell phones, the roadways have become a dangerous place. If you or a loved one have suffered an injury during a motor vehicle accident, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Get your free, no-obligation consultation. Call free now, 800-291-5737. 800-291-5737. 800-291-5737. This is an advertisement, not valid in all states. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. HighLawsuit.com is an advertising group that represents lawyers advertising their services and is a free matching service for consumers. It is not a law firm or lawyer referral service.
Have you ever wondered how you could make a difference in someone's life? What if you could help hundreds or even thousands of children? Students in the U.S. rank 32nd in world math skills. It's time for our children to catch up. Become an owner of one of the world's fastest growing franchises, Mathnasium. Mathnasium is the leading math-only learning center in the U.S. Imagine helping hundreds, even thousands of students in your community improve in school and raise their self-esteem. Call us at 800-669-5539. 800-669-5539.
It's Kat. Hump Day means tickets in the third row for K-Rock's Wieneros 2014. Listen all day to win these sold-out tickets. We're streaming Cherub's debut album and take this week's K-Rock Music Survey. Win passes to an advanced screening of A Million Ways to Die in the West. Get info on these stories and more at krock.com.
It's the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. Call now, 323-520-AFRO.
Now!
K-Rock.
.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Congratulations to Rita Darcy from La Puente. Just got tickets in the third row for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. Congratulations. We have those tickets for you all day.
What a loser, by the way.
What?
Why?
She waited till tomorrow. Could have been second row.
But there's no guarantee.
Yeah, Friday. Man. Friday front row.
Tomorrow is promised to no one.
Thanks, Pat.
She's got, that's about a 24-inch difference. I think she'll be fine in row three.
I guess so.
24 inches. That's right. Ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
Look at it that way, I guess. Hey, it's Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, it's Wednesday everywhere, but Ralph is here with our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
As promised, I brought in this price list, if you will, of what it costs to book your favorite band for a private event.
I'm so excited by this.
Let's say, you know, maybe it's a corporate deal, or you want to make your daughter's bat mitzvah memorable.
Or
and you're saying,
you want Taylor Swift to play your house. Could I do it?
creepy.
Could I do it? How much money would I? That's all I care about. How much money would I need to get Taylor Swift to come play a concert for me?
Well, these prices are all pre-expense. So anything involving the rider or, you know, extra add-ons they need, if they need a private jet to your place or a limo or whatever, all the other expenses.
Not included
in this.
So this is just the performance.
Wow. Just the check you hand them to perform their music, okay?
Okay.
So keep that in mind. But Taylor Swift, being if you wanted her to come to your house,
yes,
would cost you... And this, they
stop
just,
it. You're being so creepy.
They just give you rough estimates, basically. So, for example, Taylor Swift's cost, it has here on the price list, is $1 million plus.
$1 million.
Right.
And
have
maybe
her show
more.
Up with just $1 million bucks.
And that's
so
without
cost.
You can
do
cost.
It, Bean.
You can do it, Bean.
That may be a little bit out of my price range. Who else you got for me?
See, we forgot to factor in Bean is cheap.
Do you have something more in the $1,000 range?
I mean, $1 million. That's a lot for entertainment for an event.
I can get you David Crosby and Graham Nash for $35K.
There you go.
They
really? $35,000 for Rock and Roll Hall of Fame members?
Yeah.
That's a surprise to me.
Here's your million-plus acts, okay? Taylor Swift, Madonna, Justin Timberlake, Bieber, James Taylor, Dave Matthews, Bruce Springsteen, and Bon Jovi all will cost you over $1 million to have come to your house and play. James Taylor, by the way.
Still pulling down that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish we knew what the plus was, because I imagine in some of those, like Springsteen or whatever, it would be a pretty big plus.
Yeah. Imagine being rich enough, though, to have Bruce Springsteen come and play your anniversary or something. Just imagine what that would be like.
Mumford & Sons is just about $500K. A half a mil.
Only a half a mil?
Yeah. It's a lot more than them. There's a Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
get more for your money right there. Nicki Minaj, $300K.
Wow.
No Doubt, $750K.
Wonder how often this happens.
Queens of the Stone Age, $125K. That's worth it right there.
You can get Queens of the Stone Age for $125 and it's $750 for No Doubt?
Yeah.
Wow.
I got some questions to ask about the guys who put the weenie roast together. If you can get Queens of the Stone Age for $125,000, why aren't they playing?
Start writing some checks.
Seriously.
Muse, $150K.
Kevin, you got it.
Kevin.
Oh, my gosh.
You got it.
$150K, Kevin?
What are you talking about?
You have that in your pocket. You have that in ones. You pull that
in
and that many ones fall out of your pocket, along with some jacks and a yo-yo and a frog. In that wallet of yours.
All the money you're going to make betting on the World Cup, dude, you could easily afford this as a getting home party.
The Killers, $500K. Flaming Lips, a mere $100K. You have to listen to do Dark Side of the Moon or whatever,
yeah.
But not that bad. Marcy's $100K. But you have to get a lot of boxes of tissues.
You do.
So when he cries, he's
costs a lot.
Taken care of. Pearl Jam. Between $300,000 and $500,000.
Doesn't Pearl Jam seem like the kind of band who wouldn't do anyone's party?
Yes.
They're too principled, I think, to do a gig just for the money.
One Direction?
Unless somebody writes them a $400,000 check.
One Direction.
One Direction. $1 million plus.
$200K.
What? Oh, no. That can't be.
That's not
the
possible.
Price. This is from the booking company. This is the booking agency's price list.
That's weird.
I don't know when this price list was put together. These are asking prices from a third-party booking agency that specializes in college shows.
Huh.
Okay.
Just so you have an idea.
All right. How about the bands that are barely scraping by? What about those guys?
All right.
Like, what's cheap, cheap, cheap?
All right.
Anyone we've heard of?
How about Fits and the Tantrums?
All right.
$40K.
Wow.
We'll stop by for $40K.
And they're great.
They're great.
By the way.
They're amazing live. Billy Ray Cyrus will cost you $40K if you want him to come by.
Nope.
How much to not sing?
Cheap Trick, $50K.
Plus whatever cost it is to bring them back from dead.
How dare you, sir. Sum 41 is $40K. Smash Mouth is getting
$50K.
Lead
singer's in the hospital.
What? Smash Mouth getting $50K.
That's a surprise.
Well, you don't know if they're getting it, or that's just their asking price. I'm not sure anyone's giving it to them.
Maybe they're not jumping. You want to go down to the bargain basement
Please.
And see what's going on? Let me see if I can find some good ones here.
These will all be up and coming, I would imagine, rather than on the way down.
Or
right?
Down and going.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Gin Blossoms can show up for $20K. You want to see the Gin Blossoms?
Remember them?
Los Lonely Boys, $35K. Let me see. Let me get you some Quiet Riot. It can be yours for about $13,000. You want Quiet Riot to stop by.
Wow.
Duncan Sheik is 15.
Okay.
Jefferson Starship can be yours for $20,000. That's not right. They built that city on rock and roll, and they're for 20 grand. They come to your house. Thank you. Thank you so much. You can get Deer Tick for $5,000.
There you go. Now we're getting in range.
Can be in Deer Tick for $5,000.
Jill Sobule. Remember her? She
kissed a girl. Oh, before Katy Perry even kissed a girl.
$5,000. She'll come by and kiss a girl for you.
Okay. Not sing.
She'll
just kiss
sing.
A girl.
She'll just kiss a girl.
Right. That's fine.
Tone Loke, $10,000.
That's a good 10 minutes you get out of him for that $10,000.
The Yin Yang Twins will be there for $15,000.
Well, that's pretty strong.
Vanessa Carlton, $12,000.
Less $12,000.
Strong. Solange Knowles, $15,000. Come to your house and beat you up in an elevator.
How much to perform as well? Or is that just the beat-up cost?
The Bodines are $10,000.
The Bodines!
I love the Bodines.
I don't know the Bodines. Remember
them? Oh, come on.
No, I don't.
You love the Bodines.
I don't know them.
The Bodines are too free. Remember that song?
Yeah. What was that? The theme song to what show, Ralph?
Jesse.
Nope.
The song Jesse, the TV show Jesse.
What else you got?
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who else we got? I'm just scanning. There's a lot of names here, so give me a break. Fang Island. They're $10,000. You want Fang Island.
Sounds like maybe $5,000 is about as low as it goes,
yeah, but
right?
You pay for? Yeah, it seems like $5,000 is pretty much the bargain basement prices.
That seems expensive.
Well, that's a fascinating, fascinating list.
It's amazing, but every band you've ever heard of is on this list, so I guess everybody has their price.
It's just,
Biz Markie.
It's just so weird to think that there are people out there legitimately in the world, and we probably don't hear about it because they're private parties, but there are people out there who get Britney Spears or Bob Dylan or whoever, you know, to come play their house.
Cracker.
For right.
$10,000.
I mean, imagine if you're having a house party and people are like, yeah, we got a DJ. No, we got Lil Wayne coming over. I mean, it's just weird to think.
Chingy. Chingy's for $20,000.
There you go.
Chingy. Yeah, I thought that was fascinating.
Huh.
So there you go. Book your parties early. Summer's coming
up.
Summer's coming up. I'm going to have a big party in my house by the pool. I'm going to have Chingy entertain everyone.
See, some of them I feel like they just price themselves out because they don't want to do it.
Yeah,
you get Muse for $150, I think you said. And no doubt for $750. I think $750 is, we'd rather not do this.
We don't want to be at your party.
Right, I think. Right.
But no doubt, come on. Gwen Stefani is one of the biggest stars in the world. They're a great band, amazing live, a ton of hits.
Right.
$750K seems cheap to me. I would think
it's
a $1 million band.
$150 for Muse.
I understand what you're saying.
I'm saying the comparison
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Oh. I don't understand what either of you are saying.
That's probably true. Disney on Ice have just announced their new theme. Every year, Disney on Ice gets these used-to-be Olympians and makes them put on costumes and skate for pennies.
They make them do it?
Yes.
Skate for pennies?
They put them at gunpoint. No, this is a place for, ice skaters to make a living. Frozen will be the theme of the upcoming
Who could have seen
Disney
that coming?
On Ice. Disney Ice just must have just
expressed
themselves in their pants when that movie was a hit. It's like, we have an ice show in the garage waiting to go out. Could there be a better fit? I guess I'm going to go to that.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Eight times now so far, Frozen has been.
Oh, no.
I sat through Frozen in my house. It's a great film. I enjoy it. But I don't think I've ever seen anything eight times.
And it's got to be coming out on DVD soon.
It is. I think it came out this week.
So you'll be seeing it every day then.
This will blow your hair back. It's such a popular film. You know what? How it was also released this week?
No.
On VHS.
What?
Mother effers.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
They're going to wring every penny out of this movie, I'll tell you that much.
Who still has a VHS player?
Some people.
You're just making that up.
Some people have a VHS machine, and Disney is not missing out on that lucrative market. They are marketing to them as well.
Wow.
So fear not. If you've just got your old VHS player, you can still watch Frozen at home. Just fire it up. Throw some coal in there and just stoke that fire and get that VCR up and running. Get that steam. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Gautier. I wonder who he is on the list. 34 years old today. Fairuza Balk is 40. Lisa Edelstein is 48 years old today. UFC ring announcer Bruce Buffer of the legendary announcing Buffers. He is 57 years old.
I would have loved to have been there to hear that conversation between the brothers when one guy said, hey, I already do that. The other guy says, but I can do it too.
Yeah, you're not the only one. You're not the boss of me.
I mean, it's just so weird that that's their thing.
What are you going to say? Mine's let's get ready to rumble. What are you going to say?
Let's get.
We are live.
Let's get ready to fumble. I'm working on it. I don't have it yet, but I got something. Judge Reinhold's 57 years old today as well. Mr. T is 62. Kevin? Ugh. You had him bringing in and everything. For
I
what?
Paid a bull.
There it is.
Don't give me no back talk, sucker. Quit your jibber jabber. Don't make me mad.
There we go.
How much to have Kevin and his Mr. T in a box come up to your party?
$27.95.
A beer.
And Al Franken, the actor turned politician, is 63 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a brand new internet roundup. We have comedian Mark Maron in the studio talking about his excellent show on IFC called Maron. We have Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow. We have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast in the second row. And we talk to a little fellow by the name of Seth MacFarlane about a movie called A Million Ways to Die in the West. Very excited about that. That's tomorrow morning.